Out of the shotgun, Reardon takes the snap, throws to the far side. It's intercepted. Maurice Kennedy can scoop. He's down the far sideline left to the 25, to the 20. Throws on the brakes, goes past Amani. He's to the 10. 5, touchdown. Maurice Kennedy all the way, and Virginia is on the board with that defensive score.
Hey, nothing like a pick six by Maurice Kennedy. Haven't seen enough of those in recent years for the Cavaliers. Hopefully that'll be the first of several this year. And that is our co-play of the game. Our other co-play of the game was late in the first half and was a key turning point in the contest. And Frank is going to bring you our in this case, co-play of the game, brought to you by our friends at LeClaire Ryan.
All right, so the Kennedy return was such a big play. That interception, obviously, touchdown return was big. But Jim and I sort of felt like, Demetrius Nicholson's interception just before half on that fade pass from Reardon. Replay confirmed that the interception was a good one. Really, Nicholson out-wrestled the receiver for the ball as it had sort of come loose when that receiver was coming down to the ground. Both plays were huge. Let's face it. Those two interceptions allowed the Virginia team to just get to halftime with the lead. At halftime, it's well documented that Henry Coley, the middle linebacker, strong safety Anthony Harris apparently gave a little pep talk to the team, and I'm sure there was some choice language in there, like, come on, guys, let's go. And you saw what happened in the third quarter.
Well, it was a different football team in the second half. So whatever they said, they need to bottle it and use it again and again. But I think we got Randy Neal on the line, so we'll go to our second guest tonight, Randy Neal.
So, Randy, thank you for joining us tonight. First off, we've already teased everyone a little bit about your background. Grew up in Hackensack, New Jersey, and played there in your youth. And then, obviously, you were playing football for the University of Virginia Cavaliers 1991 to 1994. Stellar linebacker, lot of tackles. And 1993 was your best year, where you led the ACC with 139 tackles, 98 of which were solos, 41 assists. Let's see here. You played a number of years for the Green Bay Packers, so you had a nice run in the NFL, and you're now living down in Charlotte. We'll come back to that, you and your lovely wife and your three daughters. So we'll come back to that at the end of the interview. But thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Let's talk about defense. All right. The Virginia defense this year is, I think, heart and soul is led by the middle linebacker. And number 44, Henry Coley, has been putting on a clinic in terms of excellent run defense, has been tremendous on blitzes this year. I know he had at least one sack in the game on Saturday against Kent State, and has been involved with a lot of the first contact plays around the line of scrimmage all season. I know you've probably enjoyed watching him. What are your thoughts about the Virginia defense?
The defense is looking great. It's the best I've seen it since, I guess, the days of Chris Long, and definitely watching Mr. Coley run around out there reminds me of another number 44 that wore that number, Wally Rayner. He's always around the ball, like you mentioned, a lot of first contact, and they're all very, very aggressive. Solid defense and definitely a solid linebacking core.
Randy, as you're watching the Virginia team, do you find yourself getting more excited when the Virginia defense is on the field, or does it matter?
I'm always a defensive guy, and I definitely go by the motto, if they don't score, we can't lose. And I definitely love watching those guys play ball. I mean, watching the defensive ends, they get up the field, they get after it. The linebackers, making plays. The DBs are running around. We got the leading tackle, the leading interception guy, in the country sitting back there. So they're definitely a fun group to watch. And just knowing that we have them, when we are watching the offense, even though they're a little young, it's a lot easier, watching them go through some of their growing pains, knowing that, hey, you know what, they turn the ball over, we don't get a first down, or we have to punt, the D will either get it back or we'll stop them right there. So it's definitely more fun for me watching that defense.
All right. So earlier I was describing to our listeners, you know, that you had made two interception returns for touchdowns in one game, and that was against Virginia Tech back in 1992. And I remember that game, and I remember thinking, who is that defensive back running down the sideline? And you used to wear, I believe, number six, right?
Yeah, I was a skinny guy back then, so I had to wear that single digit to make me look a little wider.
Well, one thing's for certain, it hasn't happened very often that any player, you know, in college anywhere has ever returned two balls back for touchdowns, and particularly against the arch rival, these the Hokies. Maybe some of that karma will rub off on this Virginia team, and maybe they can take down the Hokies in Blacksburg this year. Talk to us a little bit about the nature of playing linebacker at the college level, and you know, how you matured during your time at Virginia, because I feel like Henry Coley is maturing this year, and for that matter, strong side linebacker Draquan Romero is having a stellar year as well. Tell us a little bit about what's involved there.
Definitely the most important thing, you know, and for me, when I was playing back then, you know, I had to really depend on my film study. I wasn't the strongest guy or the most athletic guy, and having to play with Jamie Sharp and James Ferry, a couple of very athletic, very strong guys back there, you know, so for me, it was definitely studying that film, getting that step, getting that jump on the ball. And when I watched these guys play, without a doubt, they're reading the keys. They're reading if the lineman, are they leaning forward coming out for a run? Are they sitting back on their tails for pass protection? And when they see, when they read their cues and they see it, they're attacking right then and there. There's no hesitation. There's no wondering, am I going the right direction? Once they see it, they commit and they're full speed. And that definitely shows that they've been studying from film and they're believing what they're seeing. So they're reading those keys and attacking. And when they're getting there, laying that wood, making guys think twice about coming in there again.
We're visiting with former Cavalier Randy Neal, and Randy, I think you may have at least touched upon what I was going to ask you, and it seems like from the first game this year, we've been able to put pressure on the opposing team's quarterback, and as a result, force turnovers. I think we're on the plus side of the turnover column this year, which probably is one of the reasons why we're 3-2. But at any rate, how are we getting so much pressure on the quarterback?
You know, like I mentioned previously, just, you know, having faith in what we do, and success breeds success. You know, I think you go into every game, in the back of your mind, just you visualize it, you see it, and it's like, you know, I can get back there. But once you actually taste that success, it breeds success. Once you beat the guy the first time, he's thinking, man, can I block this guy? And on the flip side, you're like, you know what, I know this guy can't block me. So they're reading their keys, they're flying around, and I think heading into it, you know, folks are looking out for it. And, hey, they might not say they may be a little afraid of us. So they're playing a little tight on the offensive side, and we're able to get there and get after it.
You know, I have a couple of thoughts I'm curious about. First off, I don't want you to get away from us tonight without telling us what was your favorite moment as a Cavalier athlete?
Okay. For me, it was senior day. My senior year, we were playing NC State, and all my interceptions up to that point had come on the road. So finally had my parents in the stand. It was, you know, the last home game. Got an interception against NC State, took it back, did a nasty plunge in the end zone. Thought my parents were there to watch it all, so for me that was the greatest thing. Talked to them after the game, said, oh, we were at the bathroom, we missed it. But that was still one of my best moments being at UVA.
All right, tell us a little bit about some of the guys that you used to hang out with back in the day, and who are you still close to today that you played ball with?
Wow, the guys that I hung out with back in the day, we still stay in contact, you know, pretty much on a daily basis. We watch the games on Saturdays, we're all texting each other. Definitely still stay in real tight contact with Simeon Willis. He played quarterback for us. Paul London, whose brother Mike is the head coach right now, Joe Crocker, Skeet Jones, Jamie Sharper, Posse, all those guys. We were a very tight-knit group, and I think that's why we had so much success. And we pretty much kept on to that friendship throughout the years.
Any good George Welsh stories? You never caused him to throw his hat, did you?
Oh, man, a couple of times. Oh, boy. George banned me from the media a couple of times. Which I think the best story might be that Virginia Tech game when I scored those two touchdowns. The first one, I get back, and I think I dove back into the end zone. And he's screaming at Coach Lance at the time, "You gotta tell him, act like he's been there before." And Coach Lance says, "Hey, you had your fun. You know, you've been there, you've done that, so let's go." Get it the second time, I think I took off my helmet, leaned on the goalpost. And Coach Wells gave Coach Lance this look like, "He's been there before. Why is he doing it again?" I think that was a good one. Made me laugh. I think Coach Lance got a chuckle out of that.
So. You know, the problem these days, you get flagged for that kind of stuff anymore.
Fine, penalties and all that good stuff. Taking the fun out of the game.
I agree with you. Those things were harmless.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. Exhibitions of fun. And why they want to take that out of college football, I don't know. I mean, I saw where they threw a 15-yard flag on somebody for doing a half-arm mini spike after a long touchdown this weekend. I'm like, come on. He didn't even raise the ball above his head or anything. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, it's like a lot of other things. Overreaction on the part of college athletics and football in particular.
Randy, we got to jump. We've got Dr. Jody Smith joining us here in a few moments to talk about the injury report. But we want to thank you for joining us tonight on Who's Talking. And we hope you're doing well down there in Charlotte. And do you want to do a little shout-out to your family?
Yeah, I want to say hello to my wife, Charlita, former UVA Hoops basketball player down there, and my children, three girls, Deja, Randy, and Simone, young basketball players as well. So definitely appreciate it, guys, and hope to make a couple of games this year.
I like that. I like that hoops talk there. You know, I mean, we're you know, it's always 'tis the season. But at any rate.
Got to keep the sports alive in the family. Have to.
That's wonderful.
Well, we need some legacies up there in Charlottesville.
Yeah, we're trying to get them there. We're working on it.
Yeah, Joanne Boyle needs some scorers, so hopefully a couple of your girls can shoot. Listen, we've enjoyed visiting with you, and best of luck to you in the future, and maybe we'll see you up in Charlottesville during one of the games.
Definitely appreciate it. Anytime, guys.
All right, Randy Neal, what a great visit. All right, we're going to prepare for Dr. Jody Smith. We have some news on the injury front. Mike Moore and Grayson Lambert, with their ankle injuries, they are getting healthier by the day. And my guess is when the UVA ACC required injury report comes out Thursday, both players will be probable, is my guess. Demetrius Nicholson was on the field for 50 snaps on Saturday, coming back from his ankle and turf toe injuries. And he said his quads got a little tight during the game. And I wonder why. He hadn't played in about a year, so... hopefully the trainers were able to help him the last couple of days. Sadly, Jackson Mateo, a backup guard / center, all 6'5", 300 pounds of that sophomore, unfortunately had to have surgery this week on his foot. We hope that that he recovers quickly, because I know he was improving quickly and really helping the offensive line. So,
and this could be Dr. Smith here, but I assume he would qualify for a medical red shirt at this stage?
I don't know.
Pretty far along.
They'd have to – that might be kind of tough. All right, Jody Smith with Ortho Virginia is with us. Jody, are you there?
I'm here.
Very good. Thank you for being patient with us. Randy Neal, that was a good interview. All right, we just updated everyone on the Mike Moore and Grayson Lambert, their ankles are healing up, and they should be probable and probably able to play this coming Saturday night against Pitt. Obviously, Demetrius Nicholson's come a long way. A little worried about Andrew Brown. He hasn't seen the field much. We've heard rumors that he had a shoulder, but not much news. Jackson Mateo, I believe, had foot surgery today. He's a backup center and backup guard. And a little worried about him. He had foot surgery today, I believe. So have you got any other news?
I don't have any other information. It's interesting about Nicholson. He has basically one more game to kind of decide about if he's going to play this year or not, because of the way the redshirt rules work, where once you've played in more than after the half point of the season, you then can't come back. So I think part of the reason they put him back in last week was to see. He performed pretty well, and I my guess is he'll probably go ahead and play the rest of the season, but it's interesting that how the rules kind of pushed him back to play maybe a little before that he really wanted to get back.
And that might be true of Andrew Brown, the Gatorade Player of the Year last year in high school, playing defensive tackle, because if they put him in against Pitt, that might be the last chance they get to look at him to see, you know, is this a year maybe he should redshirt and protect him and just lift weights and learn the schemes or whatever. So the rules are pretty difficult to get around, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean they're made to protect the athletes, but also to protect the integrity of the system, I guess. But it does create kind of a hard line. You know, I've heard mixed things about Brown. At the beginning of the season, I heard it was his toe. I heard he had turf toe also, and then the shoulder thing kind of came up a couple weeks ago. My guess is if it's his shoulder, I don't think we'll see him play.
Jody, you know, the interesting thing, I think back on football injuries over a period of decades, you always think about knee injuries. Seems like these guys are having a lot of foot issues. Is there anything different now that's causing all these foot problems?
Well, yeah, the turf toe injury, we talked about it before, but again, it was never really there until the hard turf, because typically when you pushed off, it would give, and now with the new turf, the increased traction creates, you know, a higher incident of ankle sprains because the foot won't give. You see these, you know, Lisfranc injuries like Matt Schaub had, where your foot gets, you know, kind of bent forward and causes the bones to spread apart, and a lot of issues that really wouldn't be there if everyone was still playing on grass, although we still are. So apparently it's really not all based on the turf.
Well, they practice, though, on that AstroTurf, I believe, up there by U-Haul. I believe that's a turf field, and I think it's a artificial turf field.
Well, it's always unforgivable to get hurt in practice. That was always my motto.
Well, Jim,
that means you're trying too hard.
Yeah, I'm sure Hoot Gibson loved you in practice. All right, Jody, in terms of your daily practice, are you seeing any new trends out there or anything that maybe you could educate our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this football season so far has not been terribly busy, which is, you know, knock on wood, good for the teams that I cover. We haven't seen as many injuries. One of the things that we have seen, I think, recently is that the number of female knee injuries is getting less as people are learning more about how to strengthen the leg. There are a lot more of those preventative ACL regimens that a lot of our soccer and basketball teams are doing for their female athletes that I think are helping. At least I'm not seeing as many female ACL injuries, and so, you know, that's a good thing going forward.
I agree with you on that. Hear, hear. Well, Jody, thank you and everyone there at Ortho Virginia. We've got to jump to our next break, and we look forward to talking to you again in a couple of weeks, I hope.
All right, thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you, Jody. That was Jody Smith, one of the top ortho specialists in Central Virginia, if not the state of Virginia. All right, we're going to break. We come back, the Olympic Sports Report with Chris Sill, and air predictions for the upcoming games this weekend.